Mr. Rowe, thank you very much, Pastor Sofiane. Good morning, everyone. We are so glad to be here again in the house of the Lord to worship and to glorify and to praise His holy name. God is a good God, and we need to continue to worship Him and to say thanks to Him for. It's like the small things and the great things that He has done. Bless the Lord. So good to be here on another Sunday morning, another Lord's Day, when we come together to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And each time we come together, we are mindful of the presence of the Lord, which we're going to talk about today with us in our meeting. So we just look to the Lord that He will continue to lead us and bless us as we worship Him. You will remember the last time that we were here on a men's Sunday, I think it was, where we ministered from Zephaniah, and we said that we were doing the first part, and then we will come back and do another part in the next presentation. Well, from that time until now, this is the first time that I will be ministering again on a Sunday morning. And so we'll be going back to the book of Zephaniah. And for those of you who haven't found it yet, if you reach Abuka, is the very next chapter. If you reach Agai, you'll pass it. It wedged between Abuka and Agai, Zephaniah. And so we're going to look on what has been said there by the prophet of God, and to see how much that applied to us today as God's people. Bless the Lord. The last time we ministered along this line, we talk about God in our midst. God in the midst of His people. And you will remember what was said there, that sometime to some of us, the Lord is in our midst and we don't know. Okay. Like in the case of Jacob in Genesis 28. Jacob said, "The Lord, this is the house of the Lord, and the Lord is here." And Jacob did not know, maybe because of where he was. But he said, "This is none other," in an open field. And he said, "This is none other than the house of God, and I know it not." And so I just want us to understand here, based on what the word of the Lord said. You remember what Psalm 139 says to us, that the presence of the Lord is everywhere. Everywhere. There is nowhere that you can go in the entire universe without the presence of the Lord being there. Even in hell, the word makes it clear that the presence of the Lord is there. And so we are not so much talking about the compulsory presence of the Lord in this universal setting, but we are talking about the presence of the Lord as He purposed to be. That's a big difference. It is a given that the presence of the Lord is everywhere. But when the Lord purposed to concentrate on somewhere, that's a big difference. And that is what we are embarking on here from the last time we had this presentation. And even today as we continue. And from what I see, it appears as though we will have to come back to this, seeing that we have Breaking of Bread service coming up. It is important that we regard our service, this service, as a service in which the presence of the Lord is, on a concentrated way. are gathered together touching anything in my name, you promise to be in the midst. And yes, I know. Yes, I know that there's another side to this, in the sense of he being in the midst to settle a dispute that might arise in the church. That is true too. But whatever it is being discussed in the name of the Lord promised that he is going to be in the midst, like he is with us this morning. And so I would like us to just take a little time out and let us reason together here over the word of the Lord as we continue this small series, The Presence of the Lord in Our Midst. Now, I invite you to read the book of Zephaniah, only 3 chapters. If you read the book, you are going to find out that 2.5 chapters are a little bit more than 2.5 chapters speak of judgment. The young prophet, he spoke of the judgment of God falling on the people because they turned their backs upon God. And God raised up a young servant by the name of Josiah, 8 years old when he took the throne. But by the time he reached 14, he was creating waves for God. He established a program to break down the idols that were being worshipped in the different places. The priests that were worshiping idols and doing wrong things in the church, Josiah established a program where all of these nonsense would stop. He brought back the celebration of the Passover, which they had stopped for many, many years. And many things. There was a homosexual building that was raised up close to the temple. He demolished it completely. And many things the young king decided to do because he found the book that was lost, the word of God that was lost. And having read it, he discovered what God's priorities were. And he decided to follow the writing in the book. And he encourages his people to put away their false God and worship the God that the book speaks of, that he found in the temple. And at the same time, what we find is that God has just raised up this young prophet, Zephaniah, during the same time, and God spoke through him, and 2.5 chapters were nothing else but the judgment of God spoken up by the young prophet to the people of God. But because of the work of the young king, repentance start. The people start to look to God. The people start to change their mind. And we find this last section of the book of Zephaniah chapter 3 speak of the work that was done by the young king and what God intends to do when God see that the people decide to turn from their worship of idols and to do different things and turn to him, the true and living God. Hence we have from 14 to 17 and beyond. And it is very interesting as we continue to look on this passage, because we are looking here and God speaking through his servant Zephaniah. And in 14, the prophet said, sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. This is good news. This is a different news than the news that Zephaniah previously prophesied as far as God is concerned. Here is a shift because God saw repentance and God gravitated to the change of mind of his people. And God now decided to embrace the action. And these are the things that the Lord started to say through his prophet. Now, I would like to say to the church that in the mind of God, the church should be a happy place. And when I say the church, I'm speaking about the overall body of Christ. But I'm also addressing the individual assemblies within that body, such as ours. So it means when we come together, each time, be it on Sunday morning, Tuesday night, or whatever time, the church of God should be a happy place. The people who are called by the name of God should be a happy set of people. Why are we happy? Or why should we be happy? Because the word tells us that he has taken away our judgment. He has taken away our judgment. Look on verse 15. The Lord has taken away thy judgment, as he spoke to the people. In other words, whereas before, judgment was being spoken of right through and through. Now the Lord is saying to his servant, I have taken away your judgment. I have removed the judgment from you. And I'm inviting you, O Israel. I'm inviting you, O Apostolic Church in America, to sing and to shout for joy. Because your judgment is taken away. And not only that the judgment is taken away according to verse 15. He has cast out thy enemies. He has cast out thy enemy. The king of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil anymore. What a promise, what a comfort to the people of God. Hallelujah. Whereas it was judgment in the past, but because you have surrendered your life, and I'm speaking to every individual now who have made a decision to serve the Lord, whether it was from 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years ago, or it was yesterday, the Lord is saying, I have removed the judgment from you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The judgment that is to come, you and I are removed from it because we are now sheltered under the wings of the Almighty God. He has removed our judgment from us. And he has what? With his enemy. He has cast out thine enemy. Different words, comforting words, sober words to the people of God. And so the Lord went on to state, in verse 16, in that day it shall be said, O Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thy hands be slack. But it is interesting that there are two times here in this passage from 14 to 17 that the Lord made mention that he is in our midst. Two times that the Lord specifically states that I am in your midst. Verse 17, and this is where we're going to spend a little time here. Verse 17, the Lord thy God is in the midst of thee. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty.
Amen.
He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Now there are four he wills here that is mentioned in this passage. Four he wills here that is mentioned. And for the sake of time, as I said, we will not be able to go to all four of them. Because the last time we said that the Lord is in our midst. But the next time we come, which is now, we will state what the Lord in our midst is doing. And there are four he wills here that is mentioned in verse 17, which we will cover, but certainly not today. So we will be able to cover only one of the four he wills, and that is the first one, he will save. We will try to cover that to a point today as we wait for the next opportunity to deal with the rest. And so we have twice the Lord mentioned that he is in our midst. That is in verse 15, and we have in verse 17, he emphasized that he is in our midst. How important is that? That the Lord is in our midst. But before the prophet made mention of the fact that the Lord is in our midst, the prophet says something that is common to the four he will here in verse 17. The prophet says something that is very important as it relates to the four he will in verse 17. And what is it that the prophet said? The Lord in our midst is mighty.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord in our midst is mighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right. And therefore, he is mighty to save. He is mighty to rejoice over thee with joy. He is mighty to rest in his love. He is mighty to joy over thee with singing. The word mighty is common to all these four, he will. And so we cannot speak about his saving ability unless we identify how mighty this Lord is. As a young servant received from the Lord who he is and conveyed to the people. First of all, how mighty is he? How mighty is he? If we read Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. There is a section in Isaiah chapter 40 that reminds us where God said, to whom will you compare me? To whom can you, the entire world, who can anyone compare God to? Who is it That is my equal. God asked the question. Isaiah chapter 40. In other words, I have no equal in power, in might, in ability. I am God, and I am God alone. Hallelujah. When Zephaniah said, he who is in our midst this morning in this service, looking at you, looking at me, looking at all of us, this God who is invisible right now in our midst, he has no equal. He has not lack ability in any shape or form. He is mighty. He is powerful. He is all-knowing. He is God all by himself. His power knows no bound. The God that is sitting beside you now. The God that is sitting beside me right here in the seat. He has no limit to his ability. And he promised deliberately to be in our midst whenever time we have meetings like this one. And even outside of our meetings, he promised, as a child of God, he promised to neither leave us nor forsake us. What a commitment to the people of God. Let's see a little bit more about this God here. As the word tells us that he is mighty. The God in our midst is mighty. John chapter 1. St. John chapter 1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Without him was nothing made that was made. John tried to emphasize the tremendous power and ability that is to be found in none other than the Lord Jesus himself. His power knows no bound. And the Apostle Paul pick up just where John left off, as he emphasized to us in Colossians chapter 1. If you have your Bible, and you could turn there too. Remember what John said. John just said to us, without him was nothing made that was made. And we're going to find the might of this God as Zephaniah speak about him. The God in our midst is mighty. We're going to see the apostle pick up where all truths are parallel. All truths run in the same direction. And so when John said this, John was speaking because he was influenced by the Holy Ghost. When the apostle Paul come over here and he speak in regards to what John said, he was speaking under the anointing of the same Holy Ghost, speaking the same truth. And so hear what he said, the Apostle Paul, as he addressed the church at Colossae in verse 16. For by him were all things created. You remember what John said? John said, without him was nothing made that was made.
Amen.
And the Apostle Paul over here said, by him were all things created. in heaven?
No.
And that are in earth? Visible and invisible. Whether they be throne or dominion or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Hallelujah. That's why Zephaniah said that the God in our midst is mighty. Here is the basis from which Zephaniah spoke. All things were created by him. Whether they be throne or dominion, whether they be principalities or power, whether they be in heaven or on earth, all things were created by him and for him. And verse 17 tells us a little bit more in Colossians 1. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. In other words, he is the one that is holding all things together in the entire universe.
Amen. Amen.
And the word tells us just now that this God is in our midst right now in this service.
Yes.
And what is he here for? Declare Zephaniah the prophet. As it passes before his eyes, as the revelation passes before his eyes, and he was able to behold the work of God, that God unfolded to him. He conveyed the message to the people. What is he here for? This God that we have just read about a while ago, his ability. What is he in this service between you and me here for? Zephaniah said, he is here to save. He is here to rejoice.
Yes.
He is here to rejoice in his love. And he is here to sing alongside us. Now, we will not come to that today, but one of the last things that comes to our mind is the fact that God sings. And we will address that at another time. But I am saying to the church of God today that we should be a happy bunch, considering that our judgment, we have escaped judgment. And God said, he has taken away our judgment. Hallelujah. We should be a happy bunch of people. When we come to praise and worship, I understand because of our setting, if all of us sing together, it will create a problem because of the broadcast. The platform cannot handle all of us singing together. So each time we come together, one person does the praise and worship, and all of us chime in the corporate worship. But what I'm saying to all of us here today, all of us should have a song. All of us in church should have a... In fact, if you read 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26, it tells us that when we come together, every one of us should have a psalm. Why a psalm? A psalm is not only the quoting of the scripture in the psalm. In Jesus' time, what they used to use as a song was the psalms. Was quotes from the psalm. They used to use quoting from the psalms to form a song. And so the word is saying to us, each time we come together, we should have a song. We should have a psalm. so that we can rejoice in the God of our salvation. And don't tell me here, church, that you don't have a voice to sing. You do have a voice to sing. Maybe you are not Sister Barbara, Sister Bernie, Sister Julie, or Sister Janine, Sister Fiani, maybe Sister Brother Bailey. You probably don't have that type of voice. But don't tell me you don't have a voice to sing. If some of us should stay out of some of your bathroom and listen to you singing in your bathroom, we wonder if it's the same person. The bathroom songs are songs that are used to glorify the Lord and to praise Him in His sanctuary. So when you come together, you can lift up your voice and you can sing. God appreciates. There is not a bird, and there are wide species of bird. There is not a bird anywhere that sings and that song has not glorified God. And the Lord said, you are more valuable than many sparrows. So don't tell me you don't have a voice to sing and give God glory. Whatever your voice sounds like, it is worship to God. God expects all of us to sing. He said, sing, O Zion. Sing, O Zion, because your judgment is taken away.
Amen. Amen.
The church today have something to rejoice about amidst all the challenges that are out there in the world. The church have something to be taken away, to rejoice about, because God has taken away our judgment. And so if this God that Zephaniah spoke of here so mighty, and we read from John and we read from Colossians to support the thought of the fact that he's mighty. If he's mighty to accomplish all of those feats, he is mighty also to save us. And you and I in this service are testimonies to the saving grace of Almighty God.
Yes.
You know, we did a Bible study not too long ago in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4:18 tells us something very powerful about the Lord in the midst of his people. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18 remind us that, let me make sure I read it so that we don't miss anything from it. Luke chapter 4 verse 18. The Lord be clear in that church as he stood up to read. And the passage you read from was Isaiah. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. When the Lord read that in the temple, in the midst of the people, prior to him reading, nobody was paying any attention to Jesus. It was just another worship leader. It was just another worship day when people are assembled together. So nobody was paying attention to him. Until he starts reading the scripture. I want to say to the church this morning that God in our midst might not be identified until he starts to work. Jesus read the scriptures, and there all of a sudden was a hush in the church. Because something different happened in church today. Something different happened in church as they identified the presence of the Lord in their midst. I'm saying to all of us here in this church this day, the presence of the Lord is here with us. And you are not able to see him with your natural eyes, but with the eyes of the Spirit, as the young prophet here, he was able to see the presence of the Lord among God's people. And he declared that he is in their midst to do four different things. And as Jesus read that passage of scripture, and Jesus sat down and brought the book to the minister and sat down, he declared that today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And the word said, all eyes were fastened on him. The reverence that was shown to him in that moment. The true value of being in church. Identifying the holiness that comes from God was felt as a result of Jesus being there. And the word tells us that they marveled because of the gracious words that proceed out of his mouth. Read the rest there in St. Luke chapter 4. And I'm saying to all of us here today that he being in our midst is not just to sit down and warm a bench. But the word says that Zephaniah told us that there are four specific things that he is in our midst to do. One of them is to save. And we have told in St. Luke here that he was anointed to do just that among us when he comes in our midst. If you feel the move of the Spirit on your heart now, if you feel the move of the Spirit speaking to you, it is the God that Zephaniah spoke of in our midst that is working on our heart. So Jesus arrived in the synagogue. We are told in St. Luke chapter 13, he arrived in the synagogue. Again, they did not pay great attention to him being there. But when he spot a woman in that church, bent over, who have not seen the sun, she has not looked in the sun unless she was laying down or something. But her body condition allows her to only look down to her feet. When Jesus, in the midst of that church, congregation suffer. He summoned her to come over to him. And he declared to him in the midst of the people. And as he spoke these words, every single person stood up. And everyone stopped what they were saying and doing and glued to Jesus and this woman. And Jesus declared to her, "Woman, thou art loosed." Not only loosed from the spirit of infirmity, as Jesus described the sickness, but loosed from the sin that entangled her for 18 years. "Woman, thou art loose." And the word said he touched her, and immediately, she was straightened. She was able to look up to the sun. She was able to look up to the roof. For 18 years, she could not see that. But as a result of Jesus in the midst of a congregation and his voice summoned attention, the woman's life was changed for the better because he spoke. "Woman, thou art loose." Zephaniah said, "He that is in our midst is mighty." He's mighty to save. He who found the most aged person on the street and invited himself to that aged person's house, back here. He turned Zacchaeus out in a temporary church. Turned Zacchaeus out. The man who all ate because of his money transactions. Jesus invited himself to those. And in the midst of his disciples and Zacchaeus' household, conversion was done. And Zacchaeus stood up and said, "Lord, if I have taken anything from anyone, I am prepared to restore unto that person fourfold." In those days, you didn't need to do no more than two. But Zacchaeus decided, as a result of the conversion, as a result of the saving grace of Almighty God in the midst of this household, "I have decided to show appreciation for my conversion by restoring fourfold." What did Jesus say? Jesus said, "Today, salvation has come to this house. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." In this service right now is the same Jesus. The message is the same. He in our midst is mighty, mighty to save. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, church. Hallelujah. I don't know who I'm speaking to if you're not yet surrender to this man who is in our midst. I am asking you to surrender now, because all eyes are glued to him whenever time he spoke. Bless the Lord. I told in Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 7, that he is able to save to the uttermost. It does not matter what you may have done. It doesn't matter what you may have done. We have just declared from the word, Almighty he is. Zephaniah reminded us that he, the Lord, that is in our midst, is mighty. And he's mighty to save. No matter what you have done, how much you may have abused the name of Jesus, regardless in what shape or fashion, he is mighty to save. That's why the Apostolic Church in America, each Sunday morning and each Tuesday night, embark on praise and worship. And not only the Apostolic Church in America, but the Apostolic Church in general emphasize praise and worship. Because the Lord said, you are to rejoice because of what has happened. He has removed our judgment from us. And every day that you make a decision to serve Jesus, you have benefited from it because you have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. I will stop here on this until we come again to deal with another aspect of these four he will that Zephaniah made mention of. But for now, I want to say to all of us that he that is in our midst is mighty and mighty to save.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Father, we bless your name, Lord, and we thank you. We thank you. We thank you that you are in our midst and you are here for a specific purpose. Specific purpose. To save. And we are told that you have the ability to save to the uttermost. No man can come to you, Lord, and you don't have the ability to save him or her. We thank you for that. And Lord God, today, as your people assemble together in this service, we pray that your presence will be felt in our hearts. We will feel glued to you, Lord, who is our God and our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.